Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You choose me?
It's just something that didn't happen very much. Not chosen very often, whether it's picking teams for, you know, playing any sport really ever. Or, although I wasn't always fat. He's Arthur Arkush, I'm Rick Camp. We're here with you for another hour here on The Score. See, because I'm fat now, everybody assumes that I was always fat. This wasn't the case. I've always been, like, probably what you consider slightly bigger than average in terms of weight. But I've also always been, like, kind of taller and then just, you know,
you're
I stopped
husky,
growing.
That's all. Just a husky boy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not fat, just big boned.
Yeah, I mean, part of that, it sounds dumb, but that is a little bit true for me. Like, I bigger bone structure, just on the whole for me. I'm 6 feet tall, but, you know, when I have the profile of a center in the NFL, like, probably a little bit of a bigger center, not quite as tall, but weight-wise, I'm, like, right on par with a bigger center in the NFL, like, 315, 320-ish. That's about right where I'm at, I think. I've kind of, this may shock you, I've kind of avoided scales for a hot minute. You know, like I hear Bernstein every day talk about, well, you know, when I weighed myself, and I'm thinking, legitimately don't know the last time I weighed myself. It's definitely been a while.
Last time I did was when I got my health insurance, or my life insurance, that like you have to go through that physical, but yeah. Before that, I couldn't tell you. I was like, I've always been like, yeah, I'm a $150. And then I'd get my life insurance. They're like, you're actually like 190, sir. I was like, oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it's not great. So,
as a definite husky fella here as well, it's probably even more embarrassing for me to admit that I have been weighing myself like crazy. And yet still here I am sitting husky as all get out. So.
But you actually have to work out too to lose the weight. You can't just step on the scale and expect to lose weight.
Oh, yeah. No, haven't been in a gym in a long time.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I've tried to do, a minor change. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my biggest weakness is a sweet tooth, and especially late at night.
Yeah.
That's what gets me. Like, don't get me wrong. I love my pizza and cheeseburgers and chips and whatever, all that crap. But it's, I just cannot put the sweets down. Once I get started,
mm-hmm.
I'll literally eat until I have like rock gut the next morning. It's so bad.
Yeah.
So I tried to just limit not eating after whatever, 7, 8 p.m. after I have dinner, that's it. And
it
did make a little bit of a difference, but when you're dealing with where I was at, I got so much more of a difference to make. So
don't do a juice cleanse. That, if there's anything anybody at the station has learned this week, don't do a juice cleanse, because Shane Reardon did one.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't go well for him. I think he started on Monday, and then he missed work on Tuesday because it messed with his stomach so much. It's, what is this and why is there no meat?
That's because Shane did it wrong. Shane just like shocked his body. He went from like a full-on diet to like, I'm just having juice for the next 2 days. And you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to ramp down your diet and then ramp up the juice and then to where it's only juice.
Okay.
And he was just like, nope, I'm done with food, only juice. And his body was like, yes, we're not playing this game.
So can I say that I've been ramping my diet down very, very gradually for the last like decade?
Yeah, we're working you up to juice cleanse.
Okay. I'm like Jim Tomsula, just ramping. I hope at some point, I was kind of disappointed with the XFL that I was hoping we'd get some Jim Tomsula, like, I want head coach Jim Tomsula interviews. Like, I was disappointed enough that we didn't get more Mark Trestman interviews in week one of the XFL. I would have loved for that. And I mean, I already know it's part of my job. Like, every Tampa Bay Vipers game is already recorded for me. Anyone that's available, because if we can get long form Mark Trestman or really Jerry Glanville too, I'm here for it.
He lost his quarterback, I think. Aaron Murray got hurt, I believe. The Tampa.
Oh, did he get hurt? I saw he got
XFL
pulled.
Starter.
I thought.
Oh, maybe it was a demotion.
Yeah, it could have been a chronic case of bad.
Okay.
Because he looked rattled. Did not look like someone that that had been. Well, I guess when Andy Reid gives up on you as quick as he did.
Yeah.
Because he was sixth round pick of the Chiefs.
Yep.
That's probably not a good sign. And they brought in Quentin Flowers, the old USF.
Florida.
Yep. South
Florida.
Yeah, USF quarterback who they just kind of had a gadget package for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sometimes an option quarterback. Sometimes he was doing like the jet sweeps and stuff like that. But then he came in and actually threw a few passes. And I mean, he moved the offense a little bit. I mean, they got the doors blown off of him in week one of the XFL. But I think I had the realization just not long ago in the break when we were talking that the XFL's back tomorrow.
It's hard to imagine, Rick, that Trestman didn't have that they got their doors blown off after that inspiring. Did you see
we were allowed
in the Tampa pregame locker room for Trestman's pep rally or whatever you want to call it, his hype speech?
Bad. Hey, at least he was in the front of the room and not the back of the room this time. That's one of my favorite notes from the Trestman era is that for, what was it, film sessions and stuff, he was always in the back of the room so nobody could look at him. That's just a special dude, man. Like, I'm convinced. I don't know if I've said this on the air before, because I mentioned that like I worked the last 3 years of the Doug and OB postgame show.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced that Mark Trestman killed Doug Buffone.
Oh, man.
Because the 250 burgers, like the, what was it, New England, then the bye, then Green Bay.
Packers, yep.
Being with those guys, I felt so bad for those guys because I'll never forget for the Green Bay one, we were at Joe Sosimo's in Lamont and we were upstairs in a private area and the owner at halftime decided to bring some of his buddies through and Doug and Obi were great with them, you know, glad handing, smiling, whatever.
Sure.
Second half starts while they're still up there. Bears give up a touchdown fairly quickly. And everything started flying again with everybody there. They're, you know, like excited to meet these guys and the GDs and the MFs and everything was flying from those guys. It was, I felt so bad for them. Those were the last teams of that postgame show. It just seems like a crime.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any of that. Ugh. I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it, but what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
That is an all timer.
So if Aaron Murray was in fact demoted, do you think he called Jay Cutler to confide in Cuddy and see what that's like? Because remember, Trestman, I believe, gave Jay the hook too for his boy Josh McCown at one point.
Yeah. And then again for, was it David Fales too? Was that him or was that in the Fox regime? Those years all blend together.
Did that happen? Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I think David Fales was Trestman and then John Fox's guy was Matt Barkley.
There you go.
Oh,
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. Boy, that's...
I'd like to forget.
Yeah, last year was bad, but it's still not that.
Remember, though, people were wanting to make those comparisons. It had gotten that bad that the Trestman-Nagy comparisons were actually
I think
getting uttered.
Offensively, kind of fair. As a team as a whole, no.
Right.
Team as a whole, no. I mean... The defense is good right now, whereas in the Trestman era, is anything going to top the Lamar Houston sack dance that turns into a torn ACL?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. When that happened, because the game, if I remember right, the game was already out of hand because it didn't take that long.
Yes.
And, I can't repeat the things that OB said.
That was the Patriots game, correct?
Yeah, that was the Patriots game. I can't repeat what OB said. But I think everybody out there that's heard any postgame show can imagine what OB said.
Well, he wasn't approving of a sack dance on the backup quarterback down two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Fair statement. But actually, you know, I think we were all saying for the XFL week one is, okay, there's going to be intrigue just because it's something new. Week two, this is really going to be interesting for the league as a whole, because I know they have the capital to last a while. Like, it was much, much more well done this time around, but week two's ratings are going to be fascinating to me because I think there was enough intrigue from week one with the different rules and with enough good play. Not every game had good matchups, but there was enough good play where I think the numbers for week two are going to be promising for compared to what people are probably expecting, which I think people are expecting a big dip. I think it'll be a decent dip in ratings, but not that precipitous.
Yeah, I get the sense that interest definitely remains, and that this thing may have some staying power, but certainly the kind of the difference from week one to week two will be telling, and they got to continue to get, you know, they got to continue to get to make new names. We knew a lot of the familiar faces from the NFL that we would be following, and, you know, from coaches to players. But I think it's about developing some of the stars that we don't yet know of. That's going to, you know, be a big part of this as well. I was on vacation last week with my family. I was hosting this same time slot last Friday and then left Saturday and was out of town in Miami from Saturday until Wednesday. So unfortunately, I didn't get to watch any of the action, but going to try and make sure that I put aside a little bit of time to see what all the fuss is about, because, yeah, I mean, I was only on Twitter a very tiny bit, but it seemed like XFL had all of my timeline captivated.
Yeah. If nothing else, I like some of the rule changes. If the NFL wants to keep the kickoff, while it was jarring to see the kicker down by himself at his own 30-yard line kicking off, it was very jarring to see it, but I actually think that could work. It having everybody lined up at the the plus 35 and the plus 30 from the kicker's perspective, I think it can work. And I'm interested to see how everybody adjusts too, not just like the coaching staffs as well, because I wonder if you'll almost see some defensive line type principles added to those kickoff. Like, are you going to see stunts from the coverage team, where maybe they try and shoot a gap to force a bigger loss on the return instead of just kind of accepting the block, almost like a stack and shed, like a two-gapping technique. I think it's going to be interesting. I want to see that. And also, with everybody being in one line, someone's going to break one at some point. Someone's going to lose their gap control, gap integrity, whatever. And there's going to be a big return for a touchdown at some point. And if nothing else, the big play will be exciting, because I think we were kind of lacking big plays just from some of the quarterback play.
Okay.
But there's intriguing names as well. And the one name that made me smile more than any, because I follow a lot of fantasy football guys, so there were XFL fantasy leagues that were already started.
Sure.
First round pick, Christine Michael.
Oh, really?
He was the sleeper guy for God knows how many years of his NFL career.
Yeah, former second round pick, I think.
Yeah, Texas A&M.
Yep.
And just never ended up panning out. But there's always those guys. And there's one particular that I find intriguing because of a different route to the XFL. Of course, I'm going to forget the name now, but there's a guy that I believe academically flunked out of West Virginia or was about to.
Okay.
Who instead of going some alternative route, maybe going JUCO or something like that, decided to go into the XFL. So he's going to have the XFL this year and then be draft eligible.
Hmm.
So how that path works out could be really intriguing to see if there are other guys that decide maybe with a year to go to try and step up the level of competition, improve their profile that way, maybe.
Right. Well,
instead of through college
XFL
football.
Would love nothing more, of course, right?
Yeah.
To become kind of a temporary stop between the NFL and college. So I do got to get to a couple texts here real quick.
Sure.
We did not have that right. Jay Cutler was benched for Jimmy Clausen.
Oh, that's right.
And that was the second to last game versus Detroit that year. Cutler came back for the finale in Minnesota. So thank you to the 630 area code for that. We also had a question about the CFL corner, talking about other leagues that aren't the NFL.
Yeah.
Trey Roberson was signed, I think, 2 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Spent time with the Minnesota Vikings. He's intriguing. I mean, I think clearly from this signing bonus that the Bears gave him, they think that he's going to have a good shot to stick, and they probably already have kind of a role that they envision for him. So I think it's a stretch to say that he's going to come in and replace Prince Mukamara or, you know, suddenly be ahead of Kevin Tolliver on the depth chart. But a guy who I think is intriguing and was a ball magnet in the CFL last year clearly has some playmaking ability, and that was clearly lacking in this Bears defense last season. So I like that move, kind of get a jump start on things before you you know, before the actual new league year opens, a chance to make a little bit of hay. And it sounds like a third of the league was interested in this the CFL standout, and the Bears landed him.
Yeah, and we mentioned the lack of depth and just needing other options at his boundary corner.
Right. And forgotten about that until we got the tux.
Yeah, so that's something, that's a guy that could help, you know, be a flyer in that regard. All right, we're going to take time out, come back, keep getting to your questions on the text line, 67011, the phone line 312-644-6767. Also, just any Valentine's Day issues that you've had, we're here for you. Because Lord knows lately, I've been brought up as making some mistakes myself, so we're here for you. You can just vent, therapy session on Valentine's Day. He's Arthur Arkush. I'm Rick Camp, and this is The Score. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. I'm Rick Camp alongside Arthur Arkush. We've had fun here for about 3.5 hours to this point. Yeah, that's math. That works. And we got about a half hour to go. Taking your questions on the NFL, NBA, what's going on. It's All-Star Weekend. The Rising Stars game, I think, is in the third quarter right now. Shockingly, Zion's dunked the ball a few times. John Morant's passed the ball a few times.
He tilted the rim, too.
Oh, did he? They had to, like, reset it? That's awesome. And Luka's hitting long threes. So it's really everybody's on par. And so this audio I saw on Twitter and I just had to hear it. So Chris Dickens, Brandon Orlowski on the other side of the glass, they pulled it. Everybody's in town and you know, you hear, get some odd questions asked at times. And Charles Barkley is always willing to answer questions, so I couldn't tell where he was. It looked like he was either at a hotel or a bar or something like that.
I believe it was a hotel lobby.
So he's in the hotel lobby, and I believe he was asked about, hey, Charles, what about weed?
Well, I'm not a pot guy. I've had pot like 5 times. It just makes me want potato chips. you know, but I got to be progressive. Listen, if you're using pot to heal your body and things like that, I guess I can accept it. But I don't want to just say, I don't want guys just smoking pot because they like to smoke pot. I mean, obviously, it's because I don't think you can compare basketball to football. I think I know it's really helped some football friends who I know. But like I say, if you're going to use cannabis, man, I must be getting old. I'm using cannabis. If you're going to smoke weed or pot, I hope you're doing it for the right reason. I'm not doing it just because you're a druggie. I'm very sensitive to the subject. I had a brother who died young who was a junkie. So I'm really, drugs are a real serious issue to me.
Smoke weed every day.
That quote brought to you by the early 2000s Portland Trailblazers.
Welcome back to the 1980s. It's a gateway drug, everybody.
Yeah, I love Chuck. That's great. That just makes me want potato chips. I mean, pretty much anything makes me want potato chips.
But like, it's been 5 times. I did it 5 times. That's it.
Right.
And potato chips.
Yeah, I'm glad he kept tally.
Is he sure it was the weed and it's not just
him?
A normal day?
Yeah. Right. I mean, so I went to Subway to get my Italian BMT today, and I had to make the choice. Do I get the 2 cookies? Because the Subway cookies are good, or the chips. And I went basic. I had the traditional Lay's. It was a great choice.
Oh, wow. That's pretty basic.
Isn't it?
Mean,
I don't normally do that, but for some reason, because like, so here we have you been up to the company kitchen?
I have, yeah. It's really nice.
It really is.
In fact, the first time I tried to go up there,
yeah.
I don't have a key or anything, so I have to borrow to make sure I don't get locked in or out of the, you know, going from level to level, and I set off the fire alarm because I pushed the wrong door open.
Really?
It was sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I did not. Yeah, that's, so up there, they have a lot of varieties of chips. They might have a regular, like a basic potato chip up there. I don't know. But normally when I'm here, so this is something that nobody sees on the air or that even watches the video stream at 670thescore.com. Because there's, thankfully for now, there is no camera in the producer studio. Every, like
or
once
so,
a
day. Or you don't think there is a camera in the
producer
studio.
Well, that's also true.
Yeah.
The one reason I kind of hope there is so that everybody can see the stain that's on one of the ceiling tiles in there.
Oh, man.
It looks like poop. Pretty sure
right
it's
above us.
Pretty sure it's a poop stain that's on one of the ceiling tiles there. It's been there since we moved down here.
There's got to be a story that comes with that.
Right. Well, one of the stories is they said when we first moved down here a couple years ago that they were gonna take care of that. Still there.
Whew. Now it just has to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's like tradition.
It's like a mascot. Like a
juice cleanse story or something.
Yeah. Ooh. Someone from a previous year. Okay, that's interesting because I think US 99 and WXRT, a couple of our sister stations, they've been on 10 for a while now. The floor.
Yes.
They're not that excited. They've just on the 10th floor.
They're on 10 as well.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's one of the culprits?
Maybe.
Are we blaming Lynn Bramer for this? No.
I don't think you can do
that. No. Lynn's too nice of a guy to do that too. I don't know. But either way, that's
Styles and Roman.
He'd be taking it to 11 anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I've worked a couple long days here. But, you know, I've only done this for a couple days, and I'm already dragging. Lynn Bramer, like, lives in the building. And I understand now he's finally changed shifts to kind of help his lifestyle, which good on him because he, you know, being on mornings and as long as he's been and being as great in mornings as he's been is an absolute feat. And I have even more respect for him. Like I worked the morning show as like the third producer. So the Ray Diaz role now for like 10 weeks and it was enough for me. So I give credit to Ray who's done that for a long time and to people who work morning shows because it takes years off your life. It just has to. You have to watch enough of the games so that you can feasibly catch up in the morning. But then you also have to try and, you know, get sleep, which seems just like a foreign concept when you work a morning shift.
My senior year of high school, I worked at the Deerfield Bakery. And I did so because I was in trouble and pretty much my summer was spent. But that's a separate story.
Yeah.
Maybe for another show. I don't know. Anyway, so the shifts at the Deerfield Bakery were 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. right after I graduated high school and knew that I was just like perpetually grounded. I wasn't doing anything anyway. So the only reason I mention it is that's like the best. That's the closest experience I have to working those type of regimented early hours. And it takes a heck of an adjustment. Once you're there, it's okay. But I spent most of the summer adjusting to that schedule.
Yeah, it's I just couldn't imagine doing it all the time. I mean, obviously, hey, if the money's right, you do what you have to. 708 texter at 67011. You need the crispness of the original Lay's to balance out the thickness of a sandwich. See, that's fair. It's a very solid option. I'll add chips to a traditional sandwich, but to a sub, I just have them on the side. I'll alternate because I need the little bit of salty, I guess.
How often do you put the chips on the sandwich?
Probably about alternate. It depends on if we have them at home, if we have chips in the house. Sometimes we don't. My wife likes to do the grocery shopping, so sometimes we'll get traditional chips, sometimes we'll get like a barbecue chip, and then you have to be a little more judicious. You can't just add barbecue to every sandwich.
But those Jay's barbecue chips on a nice Italian lunch meat.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we'll get just like the tortilla rounds, like those chips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we'll do something like that, and maybe we'll get some queso as well. So those aren't really as much meant to go on a sandwich. But no, I mean, I'll do it about every other time if I have traditional potato chips. I can be particular on that, by the way. At least unless things change, a new I'm Fat podcast will be recorded on Monday.
So would Lay's be your go-to? Because there's just a lot of options. I mean, I like Cape Cod.
Yeah.
I like Crunchers, although I haven't had myself a bag of Crunchers.
Lay's regular potato chips is probably the best in terms of just like you just want the regular chip. If you want barbecue, you got to go Jay's.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, the potato chip that is most like communism to me, where it's great in theory but not as great in practice, is Pringles. Because you get Pringles with the intention of it being less messy. Because, you know, just not as much grease and whatever. But then by the time you get 2/3 to 3/4 of the way down the tube, then you've got all the remnants at the bottom that when you tip or maybe this is just a me problem because I have fat fingers and big hands. I can't reach down in there far enough to just grab the chips.
Yeah, you're not alone.
You have to tip the tube so then all the broken off parts just fall into your lap.
Yeah, by that point, once you get 2/3 into the can, all the chips are cracked anyway. So you're not really getting, you know, the optimal Pringle experience.
Like I said, better in theory than in practice. That's really one of my, like, my only, like, I guess you could consider that a political joke, but it's like, it's not really, you know, I don't know, whatever. Oh, we have a 414 texter. My God, talk about binge eating. And now, see, this is what happens every time that food comes up on the station. The text line lights up. It absolutely does. I remember one time I was filling in for Julie on the Julie and Maggie show, and Maggie was floored at how anytime you bring up food and food theory, it just lights up. And see, now the phone lines are going too at 312-644-6767. This is the content people are here for on a Friday night.
Do you remember, I forget when exactly it was, but you came on Joe's show and you did like a power rankings of all the fast food items from different places.
I do remember that.
When I'm pretty sure I was running the board, and I had not seen the text screen light up like that since I started working here up until that point.
It's weird. That's the best part, is because, like, a lot of times it's satisfying for us as hosts to have a really good segment where we're breaking down sports and feel like we've accomplished something. But then it's just as fun to have those times where you're just talking nonsense. You're talking about food or whatever, or any of that stuff. I think that's part of the reason the I'm Fat podcast has worked as well as it has so far for Jay Zawoski and myself. It's just because it's nonsense, but it's stuff everybody can relate to. Like, okay, 312 texter, chip, any of these chips, best with a cold beer. 100%. Doesn't really matter which one either. I'm not as much of a, like, I like going to different breweries. Like, we were talking earlier, because we live in, like, similar areas in the western burbs, that, like, I live pretty close to Noon Whistle, which is in Lombard. It's, like, right on 38 for those keeping score at home. It's a really good brewery, and they have some, like, not everything is in your face, like, different varieties of IPAs. They have something for everybody. I'm more casual. Everybody now knows that I like Modelo. I'm always here for Modelo, but, like, whatever's on sale, that's kind of where I'm at. I've gone the gamut of being don't care in college through, like, being 25. Then, okay, I want to try all the stuff, kind of be, you know, a little bit snobbish about beer, to now where I'm like, whatever, man. Just, I always tell people when I go to their houses now, if, you know, if they offer me a beer, they say, what do you want? I'm like, whatever you want to get rid of.
Sure.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm a big, I'll go for the sales too. I mean, I go to the Jewel frequently, and they have an incredible sale right now. A couple of them, actually. The Lagunitas Little Something is a decent IPA. You know, it's like 7.5%, and forever you could get 12 packs for like $15-16, which for that, you know, quality of beer is about as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
And then more recently, a Jewel, Founders in Grand Rapids is another really good brewery. And their Centennial IPA, like their flagship, is pretty solid too. And they have 15 packs of these Centennial IPA, the cans, for $15.99. Have you just not going to find cheaper, good craft beer than that.
Have you had the Long Snapper IPA yet?
I'm sure Pat's not listening, so I'm safe saying it. I have not yet. What's the verdict?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah. There was a group of us from the score that went out to the, like, launch party, I think is what they called it, at Timothy O'Toole's. And, you know, for being an IPA, I was a little leery, because I'm a little bit of a wimp when it comes to IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all kind of classified it as a good starter IPA for people, where you get, like, you definitely get the hops, but it's not, like, you get hops. You don't get hops. Where it's like in your face, and it's just like, let's see how much pain I can inflict on somebody.
Yeah.
It's got a good taste to it, and very drinkable in mass quantities too, as we found out that night, which is something that's can be difficult for IPAs, but the Long Snapper IPA is a 100% thumbs up for me.
Still upset I haven't received any. Thank you, Patrick Manley, who told me you would send me some.
I mean, it's there. I can tell you a place that's not that close to you. There is a liquor store in Elmhurst that has it. That's like 10 to 15 minutes away from me that I've gone to for it.
That's not terribly far from me.
No, it's not too bad. It's actually, yeah, like right down. You could go right down 64 to like 83 and go head north.
It's a 15-minute drive. I'm willing to drive 15 minutes for beer.
Especially that beer, because A, it's Pat Manley's, and also I love how ignorant the logo is on it. It's an El Camino, because Pat has the El Camino that you know he's rebuilt, and just he loves El Caminos because he's Pat. Mm-hmm. It's the car manifestation of his mullet. That's what I like to think of it as. And it's him long snapping. He's you know in the stance with the ball, and he's on top of the El Camino.
Uh-huh.
It makes no sense logistically. But it looks great. And it's a good beer. Legitimately good beer.
Very nice. I'm going to keep an eye out. I had forgotten about it. And now that you've jogged my memory, I'm going
to
go find
it. Way to
go,
Arthur. You shouldn't forget about stuff like that. Well, it's Patrick Manley.
I'm aware. How could I ever? I realize. So I'm going to rectify this maybe as soon as this evening.
Yeah, it's not available in a ton of places. I recommend, because this is what I did, if you have the Untappd app, go in there and you can like buy beer, search for where it is, and it'll either give you a bar where they have it on tap or it'll give you a place where you can pick it up.
Nice.
That's how I found the place that I grabbed it at.
Beermenus.com. That works too.
Yes. Good call. This is the type of information you're going to get from us on a Friday night. He's Arthur. I'm Rick. We got one more segment left on the Score.
Common. When you were a little kid, you were a Chicago Bulls ball boy, is
that
correct?
Yeah, I was a ball boy for the Bulls.
Are you both Bulls fans?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the Bulls, but I love players. I ain't gonna front.
Okay, I get it. That's how it is 2020. But what do you think the Chicago Bulls right now, Chance? The state of the Bulls. That's exactly right. Okay, either of you gunning for MVP, we'll keep that moving. That's okay.
I definitely want to shout out Zach LaVine, though.
Yes.
He's going crazy.
He's been playing.
Amazing.
This is going great.
Yeah, seriously. That is perfect. That's from halftime of the celebrity game tonight in Chicago. It was Chance the Rapper and Common. And it was pretty much, you could just be like, just have Ron Coomer respond and be like, well, that's pretty much.
The fact that she just cut him off immediately, like he didn't even get a word out. She was just like, nope, that's it. Yeah, we get it.
I can only imagine. We've all made the face. We know what the face is, whether it's the Bulls or pretty much any team in this town relatively recently.
And those two are like different generation Chicagoans, right? I mean, Common has been in the game forever.
Right.
And I realize Chance the Rapper is newer. So that just to me. There's a big gap there and then a very similar response. It's, I don't know. Is there anyone that's still pounding the table for the Bulls, like celebrities? Because we've heard we've heard Barkley and Pippen and Chance and Common. No. Everyone has just railed on the Bulls.
Well, and the thing is, I think part of the reason everybody's railing on him is because before the year, you know, like in every league, like it was, I'm trying to think, it was like the Browns this year in the NFL, right, where it's the team that you think is going to make the leap. Or a leap, I should say.
But the Bulls were not that. Browns built a dream team.
Sure. This was a smaller version of that.
Okay.
This is team that goes from just disaster to playoffs or borderline playoffs.
And they welcomed it, correct?
Absolutely. Jim Boylan couldn't wait to say it at Media Day. Gar and Pax, you could tell, were like, well, Jim said it, so we're with him, which is really just poetic. It really is, but like, man, it's just been another, they keep finding new ways to kick you on the rocks, new ways to make it hurt. And I guess like it feels weird to say it, and I know a lot of people listening out there won't quite understand it, of like, I've kind of divorced myself from Bulls, true Bulls fandom. Maybe it's because I start to cover the NBA a lot more, and mind you, cover meaning I've actually been credentialed for like two Bulls games, and I watch the entire league and try and keep up with everybody and what's going on in those situations. So it's from afar,
right?
But still with the Bulls, it's all right. That's fine. There's a lot of real good NBA basketball out there. Like I said, there's good NBA basketball and there's the Bulls. They're two completely separate things. The text line's been going nuts for us for the
we should have talked beer and food a little bit earlier, Rick.
Maybe
we'll know for next time.
Okay.
Not that you guys weren't texting before. We appreciate those, too. We'll get to a couple of those in our final few minutes as well.
Sure. 630 texter, Metal Monkey in Bolingbrook or Romeoville, super chill, and the beer is awesome. Okay. I'm all for recommendations. Because now that, so I moved to Lombard less than a year ago, and one thing I love about it is that you're pretty central, so I'm no more than, like, it feels like 20 to 25 minutes away from anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, because when I used to live in Geneva, I was at least like 45 minutes from everything, it felt like.
Have you been to Moore yet? Moore Brewing? M-O-R-E? It's like,
no.
It's like right around the corner from you.
Really?
Yeah.
I know one that I have to go to just so I can shoot a text to our old sports director, Brendan McCaffrey, is Lunar Brewery.
Okay.
Because I believe that's one of the first places he went with his now wife.
I've heard of Lunar, but more that's good beer.
Yep. My brother-in-law, who is as big of a beer aficionado as I know, has been raving about that more, and then also Noon Whistle, I think I first heard about from him. Everything I first hear about from him. So
Noon Whistle is another great brewery that's in the area, yes.
So where-ish is more?
I believe Villa Park.
Oh, yeah, that's right next door to me.
Yeah, it's like literally, I think, a 10-minute drive from the train station, not even.
One thing that my wife is so much better about than me is when we go to a new area, being willing to just drive around for a while and just see what's there and kind of like make a mental checklist of, hey, at some point we should try this place, or when we get home, look up this joint, something like that. I'm so terrible about that. I'm very regimented of, nope, when I'm going here, I go this one way every single time. Like when I'm walking here from Ogilvy, the only thing that varies every time is where I cross Washington, like from the south side of the street to the north side of the street. And like, that's it.
And now here, my route is probably different every time because I never know where I'm going. And it's usually because I'm lost and Waze is redirecting me. So,
my
sense of direction, Rick, is not good.
Well, and especially when you're trying to get like into our building here, you have to use the lower streets, and then GPS is a crapshoot.
Exactly.
At that point.
Yes, but it gets me in so much trouble.
So, do you more often than not, assuming you're not coming from like Hallis Hall or something, mm-hmm. taking 290 in?
Correct, 290, and then it's always
lower.
The,
do you take lower WAC or do you go through the main part, like a lot of your main
usually
street?
Usually, Waze wants to tell me to take lower WAC, but as you just mentioned, I've had a couple nightmares where I run out of, I don't have GPS. You'd think after I'd done this a half a dozen times, you should just remember.
Yeah.
You take lower Wacker to Stetson, and then you're there.
Is it really that simple?
Oh, yeah. So you take lower Wacker, and it winds around a bit. You can look for Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and then you just go the next stoplight past Michigan. You hang a right, and then it dead ends into our parking garage.
It sounds so easy.
I know. Like, lower Wacker, when you haven't used lower Wacker a lot, it is intimidating.
Exactly.
Because it totally was for me when I first started doing it, but a lot of the more confusing parts, you don't have to mess with.
So intimidating that I got away from it, and then I was doing the I to B Wells to, I think, Columbus to Lower Lake and going, doing kind of a loop.
Not sure. Now you're going all the way.
Exactly. Just to, I'm going to face my fears head on. I will be back on this station.
Okay.
Same time slot on Monday.
Nice.
And Lower Wacker and I are going to get reacquainted.
Cool.
I know, that's really exciting.
You show
for
Lower
everyone.
Wacker who's boss, all right, Arthur?
I will try.
Oh, we
I might have a harrowing story when I get in here Monday night, but as long as I get in here on time, I'll be doing better than I was today.
630 texter said Two Hound Red in Glen Allen.
I've never heard of it.
I'll
give it a shot. Moore is definitely in Villa Park. It's on Villa Avenue and St. Charles Road.
Oh.
So it's like right before 83.
Yeah. I probably go right by, just blow right past it.
Yeah.
Because when I end up driving here, I normally will take St. Charles Road until I hit 290. So that's interesting.
Yeah, highly suggested.
Okay.
Man, they're just pouring in now. Workforce Brewery in Plainfield. That's where my wife works. So
you have a mission now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that one out. I think we said already this Two Hound Red in Glen Ellen is right next to my crib and Lyle. There's supposed to be a really good one in Derry, and no one has mentioned that yet, but again, my brother-in-law Kevin mm-hmm. at one point said there's another really good one in Derry we needed to get to.
Oh, another food place for you. Oh, close. Well, it's close for me too. Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe. Oh, man,
yes, that is
in Derry.
The Score does remotes there, correct?
Yeah.
Hub's been out on remote a few times. That is good eating.
It And they have such a diverse menu. You can have whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I've had, like, we did a few Bears pre and posts from there. And they gave us beignets one year for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The beignets were incredible. I've had the crepes there. Whenever I go there, like, with my wife, I get the jambalaya. The jambalaya is incredible. Like, the barbecue is great.
Yeah, the barbecue is really good as well. I was going to say. I've had
Creole stuff is great.
Yep. Yep, can't go wrong.
Yeah, you really can't. Like, anybody
we've done catering from there. Their mac and cheese is so good. They have like spicy green beans. So we've done, we've had a bunch of their stuff. We love all of it.
My cousin Brian had his rehearsal dinner there.
Can I just throw out a, I'm being told that Waze, I'm sorry, I do want to hear about the rehearsal. Wait
a minute. You're good.
You had been to a rehearsal dinner there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I've never been to any private events. I just go.
Okay. Have you been in like the big...
Yeah, the restaurant is huge, but I've never, I don't think I've been
to the other side.
Yeah, no, I've never been in
there. Okay, so yeah, so like when you go in to the right is like your bar area and then the restaurant area. But then if you go to the left, like that's where we had our remotes, was they would sell tickets to be able to watch the game on projector screens while they had a buffet going, and we would do the pre and post from there. It was a great, that's where one of my favorite Doug Buffone memories happened. We got a couple minutes before we get out of here, and really, who cares if we run over, because we're just going into CBS Sports Radio anyway.
we're doing another hour. That's it.
That's enough. So where they set us up for in-game, because Doug and OB always liked having a private room. Well, the only place they really had open was the bridal suite. So in the relatively small bridal suite where they had, I'm bad with like the names of the types of couches, but it's like the one where there's only the arm on the one side of it and it kind of sprawls. Is that like a
sectional?
Like, yeah, or like a chaise lounge,
you're
something like
the wrong
that. Guy. Okay. I don't know. Either way. So OB's just sitting in a chair. Doug and I are both sitting on like the chaise lounge thing, whatever the hell it's called. And we're in this bridal suite and like we're all just inhaling food while swearing at the Bears. It was, I remember it was a game against the Rams where I think like Tavon Austin had like two or three like reverses or end arounds where he was making more plays than he should because he was Tavon Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Game gets over. OB storms out in a huff. I'm helping Doug to get off of the chair and just, you know, give him a boost. And he slides to the end of it and cracks the leg off. So we go out there. We see the owner as we're walking to start the post-game show. And Doug's like, oh, the food's phenomenal. And, you know, Doug's been in the restaurant business. So Doug knows good food. He knows a good restaurant. And Doug's looking at the owner and just complimenting him left and right, not mentioning what happened to the chair. So OB doubles back to the owner, puts his hand on his shoulder, thumb to Doug. This moron broke your chair in there. So it's just perfect. Oh, Doug and OB would always antagonize each other. And in that moment, OB went heel on Doug. It was so funny. God, that was an experience I will never, ever forget, getting to watch games with those guys for 3 years.
Yeah,
that's
an
experience,
awesome,
man. All right. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Because, like, we really haven't had much of a conversation at all before tonight.
I know. I enjoyed this. I got to learn some MBA. Got to exchange some late-night eating tips. And
I'm always an enabler for that, shockingly.
Actually, we didn't get to the one text asking what the go-to late-night snack is. Do you have one?
It all just depends what we have. Sometimes I'll do fruit snacks and people will be like, well, that's lame. Not if you have four or five packs of them. Or it'll be whatever form of cookie we have in the house at the time. Because sometimes that'll rotate. My wife will be like, well, what do you want? And I'm like, well, just nothing that has peanut butter and I'm good, because peanut butter is disgusting.
Oh, man. All right. Now we do need to end the show, because peanut butter is on my short list. That's like a desert,
desert island food.
Can have. Yes, that's on the desert island list. And peanut butter M&Ms or peanut M&Ms might be at the top of my midnight.
That's fine. I'm good with everybody else being wrong and liking peanut butter, because it means there's more of the good stuff for me. That's my thought process on it. All right. We appreciate everybody that called, that texted. We appreciate our guests, Russ Dorsey, John Hollinger. Kevin Kaduk. I mean, good night. It's been a fun night. I'm tired. We're going to go home. CBS Sports Radio is next. Thanks to Chris Dickens and Brandon Orlowski as well. This is The Score.
Let's not get uncomfortable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.